The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined in studio by the man who has said that compared to Elon Musk and Kylian Mbappe, he is much undervalued. Michael O'Leary, good morning.
Morning, Pat. How are you?
We can come to that in a little while because I know the top item on your agenda is really the passenger cap at Dublin Airport.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have an absurd situation at Dublin Airport at the moment, Pat. We've just opened a second runway that takes the runway capacity at the traffic capacity at Dublin Airport up to about 60 million passengers a year. But we're being told all the airlines we can't use it because there's a 2007 planning restriction on the second terminal around fears over road access to Dublin Airport. Now, in 2007, about 5% of the traffic came by bus. Today, that figure is over 20%. There are no particular traffic pinch points around the airport. And yet we're being told as a country and as an airport, we can't exceed the 32 million cap because that was the planning restriction in 2007. It's absurd.
Now, your former colleague, Kenny Jacobs, at the DA, he's kind of stuck, isn't he, with the planning? The rules are the rules kind of thing.
I mean, sorry, I think he is, although it's a function of DAA, you know, mismanagement. Why have they not moved to get this planning restriction moved 10, 15, 5 years ago? But ultimately, the solution to this is not with the DAA. It lies with the Minister for Transport. And it's real. Like, we plan to add 3 aircraft at Dublin Airport this summer. We couldn't get the slots for them. So those 3 aircraft, 2 went to southern Italy and 1 went to Poland. Ireland lost out on 16 new routes. But nobody really notices because, well, we never had them anyway, so it's not an issue. This Christmas, we filed our winter slots. So we typically have 6.5.
How does that work?
We have to file our winter, you get your historical slots. So the winter season runs from November through to April. We typically have about 6.5 million seats at Dublin during the winter. We filed all of our historics and we got all the historics. We also filed, though, we added every have for the last 5 or 10 years, 270,000 extra seats at Christmas. So the extra flights that come in and out of Dublin at Christmas, we filed for those expecting to get them as historic slots. And they came back and the IAA have come back and said, no, you can't have those. We're cancelling all these extra slot flights, despite the fact that you've operated them for the last 5 or 10 years, because Dublin, we're going to breach the cap. And, you know, we cannot have...
So this is what I'm... Just to get this clear, every airline then will file their slots and the number of seats. Now, in your case,
flights.
You're what, 95% load factors, so you're doing... If you say full. Seats, it's probably full. You know,
that's true.
Some aircraft may not be full for other airlines, but by and large, they will all be full at that peak time.
True.
So they simply add up the numbers and say, that will breach 40 million when we add all of you guys together.
32 million.
32 million. And 40 million would get us where?
Well, 40 million would
next year, the year after?
Well, we'd get to 40 million. I mean, I think we'd get to 40 million with no restrictions on 2 runways probably in the next 3 or 4 years. And that's where we should be going. You know, tourism accounts for about 10%, 12% of Ireland's GDP, about 120,000 jobs in this country. We're opening new hotels. We're developing new restaurants, the Wild Atlantic Way. All of these tourism facilities need continuing growth in visitor numbers. And that can only be done in Ireland on the continuation of low-cost air access. I mean, the bizarre thing here is Ryanair will make a fortune. If this year, this winter, if we're not allowed to add in those 270,000 extra seats at Christmas, we'll put them somewhere else. They'll go to Spain or they'll go to the UK or they'll go to Italy. But the airfares in and out of Dublin this Christmas will be €1,000 return. €500, we're going back to the old days of flag carrier monopolies. Simply
and this
because
is because of dynamic pricing, I presume.
Yeah, because of demand. If you constrain supply, and we can't. I mean, we're criticised every year. Oh, the airlines are putting up the prices. They know it's Christmas. We add 250,000 extra seats to keep the prices down. But if we can't do that, the seats will either be sold by the end of September, or the fares are going to rocket up towards, and it will be north of €1,000.
Now, is there no leeway at all? When you put in this programme and they said, no, you can't have those 270,000 extra seats, what does Kenny Jacobs, or do you talk to him at all directly?
We talk to
him. Or is it all kind of automated now? No can do.
It's not a matter for the airport. I mean, the airport have messed it up by not getting this planning restriction lifted. They have opened a second runway, which we applaud and endorse. But the slots are a matter for the IAA, the Irish Aviation Authority. And ultimately, this finishes up. Like, we accept it's a mess of the DA's making. It's not Fingal County Council's problem. But Irish families are going to be either getting home this winter, this Christmas, paying €1,000 airfares, or they'll be going via Belfast. and the solution to this is the Minister for Transport needs to act. It is very simple in my view. This is a planning restriction from 2007 that's completely outdated. It is absolutely about road access to Dublin Airport. Everybody was worried in 2007 if Dublin Airport gets to 32 million passengers, there'll be traffic jams all over Swords, Dublin Airport. There isn't. It's not an issue. So it's not a noise issue. It's not a facilities issue. We have this bizarre, arcane restriction that is about road access to and from Dublin Airport. And if we had a Minister for Transport who was modestly interested in aviation or even modestly interested in economic growth and development, which his own aviation policy is at the heart of his own aviation, he would fix this.
Now, how does he fix it? Because, you know, the on-board plan all is a law unto itself.
It is. But I mean, the clear fix for this would be to issue an instruction to the Irish Aviation Authority to say that 2007 the planning restriction, you can ignore that. You can add the extra slots and let's go ahead. I appreciate he may be sued by some locals, but actually, I don't think those legal actions would have any. This planning restriction or the planning concern from 2007 no longer has any relevance. The only relevance it has is it's now constraining growth and traffic growth at Dublin Airport, or it's sending our traffic and jobs growth to Italy and to Poland.
Well, you know how green our minister is, our Minister for Transport, and his long-term objective would be to limit us going for those weekends in Prague or whatever it is. That's the long-term objective, because it's not a particularly good way to protect the planet, he would say.
Yeah, and the bizarre thing here is all of this growth is happening on new, greener, cleaner aircraft. Our new aircraft carry 20% more passengers but burn 20% less fuel. The bizarre thing in this country is we have a green transport minister and a green tourism minister. And the only thing the pair of them have managed to do in 4 years is come up with a traffic cap at Dublin Airport that limits the growth of transport and limits the growth of tourism. I think too often the kind of debate here is about, well, we can't go away for those weekends away. The real issue here is tourism in this country. Nobody focuses on the tourism industry in this country. We're opening up new hotels, new restaurants, phenomenal facilities in the Wild Atlantic Way, the Midlands. I mean, they're advertising traffic and tourism now in Offaly and Westmeath. I never thought in my lifetime I'd hear it. But unless we keep welcoming in European visitors, UK visitors, unless we keep the cost of air access here low, we are going to lose out enormous numbers of passengers, jobs and investment to other lower cost European countries.
Now, there was a book years ago called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And when I hear you talking about the Minister for Transport and coalition leader, Eamon Ryan, you clearly don't apply that technique in the book to him. Because, you don't woo him. You're not a persuader.
But I resent that inference. I mean, I met him personally on the 7th of March, and not alone did we raise this issue of, here, move on this cap. I mean, the cap is clearly defective. You're the Minister for Transport. Take action. There's two things you could do. One, write to the IAA and tell them to ignore the cap. Or two, you're one of the three leaders of this government. Pass legislation removing this cap. I mean, it is absurd to me. We've spent 300 million building a second runway, which we now can't use. I mean, it's yet another infrastructural mess in this country. But no, I'm not. At that meeting, by the way, as part of Winning Friends and Influencing People, we said to him, if you remove this cap, Ryanair will grow our traffic from 20 million to 30 million passengers over the next 6 years to 2030. We'll put another 10 or 15 aircraft into Ireland, in Dublin, Cork and Shannon, and we will create about another 7,000 jobs here in Ireland. We haven't heard back from him.
You haven't heard back?
No. I mean, he hasn't even written back to say no.
One of the things you said in passing, Michael, was unrestricted, you know, and the people in North County Dublin are complaining, as you know, about noise. And we've done some reports from there, and sitting in someone's back garden, it can be horrendous.
It isn't.
So if it's unrestricted, is it going to get worse for those people?
Firstly, it's not unrestricted. I mean, there's a physical limitation on Dublin Airport. There's two runways, so that the max you can do, you'll cap out here at 50, 60 million passengers. There is noise at Dublin Airport, but Dublin Airport has been there since 1939. So anybody who's bought a house out there knew the airport was there. By opening up two runways, you've divided the noise over any, like St. Margaret's, for example, used to have 100% of the flights taking off. Now they only have 50% of it. So it is getting significantly better. The issue that we're using now quieter aircraft. Our aircraft now are 50% quieter than they were just 15 years ago. Aer Lingus no longer have the noisy 747s. There is an awful lot of nonsense talked about noise at Dublin Airport. We've set up a video on our website. We went in and measured the noise in St. Margaret's, in Ballybohol and in clock in Barrowa in Swords. The noise, the normal noise, is about 52 decibels. It rises to about 56, 57 decibels with an aircraft overhead, and that's outside in the garden. And these, so it, to put that in some context, the O'Connell Bridge, 72 decibels. Sydney Parade Avenue, 74 decibels. We're not talking about intolerable noise here. I mean, and yet we have to listen to, I mean, I, you know, if there's an issue there, we don't fly between midnight and 7 o'clock in the morning. So this myth that everybody can't sleep at night, if you're measuring noise in your bedroom, you're not going to hear anything at all. There is not a noise problem at Dublin Airport. We're investing massively in new quieter aircraft, and the two runways have the noise problem for any individual community at Dublin Airport.
But yet the lived experience of people when our reporter, I think it was Barry White, went out and he was in the garden having... trying to have conversations with people in the garden, and people are entitled to use their amenity for a bit of sunshine and fresh air,
absolutely,
even if it's laden with aviation exhaust. you know what I mean?
Listening to the noise of the plane coming over,
and they couldn't continue their conversation.
That's actually not true. But we can't have Dublin Airport is a piece of national infrastructure. You know, yes, if you're in the neighbourhood of Dublin Airport, there will be a modest noise between the hours of 7 o'clock in the morning and 10 o'clock in the evening, but it is modest. If you're inside your house, you're not going to hear anything with the radio or the TV on. You're not going to hear anything at all. But you have to accept, if you live in the environs of Dublin Airport, there will be some modest noise. If you if you're on the railway line in Mullingar, the train comes through X number of days. Those are the realities of living. If you bought a house somewhere in the environs of Dublin Airport, you generate significant wealth because of the increase in value of houses around Dublin Airport. It is a big generator of the economy in North County Dublin. So I don't belittle the noise issue, but this myth that we can't live here and it's impossible and the primary school children can't hear themselves speak inside in classrooms is a myth. It's bogus.
Moving on to the other major...
By the way, can I just give you one fact? Dublin Airport in 2022 received 26,000 noise complaints. 24,400, more than 90%, came from one individual. Like, it's a joke. I mean, nothing else to do out there.
The other big aviation story is, of course, the Aer Lingus pilots' impending or threatened strike.
Sure.
What implications does that have for Ryanair? If they get a significant rise, is that leading to demands from...
Well, no, we've already negotiated a pay increase with our pilots post-COVID. We had pay cuts during COVID. We restored those pay cuts, and we're going through, I think, about a 4 or 5 year pay deal with our pilots now, where they'll get, I think it's something of the order of 15 or 18% over a 4 year period. The Aer Lingus pilots didn't get a pay increase coming out of COVID. But I think what they got with the Labour Court, I mean, about 9.5% over a 2 or 3, was more than fair. It's certainly ahead of inflation, which is currently about 2%. And most of the people making the noise here, the senior captains, are on but 250,000 a year. I think it's indefensible that these guys are blackmailing Aer Lingus and the public over strikes during the summer holidays when, you know, they've already been offered 9.5% pay increase for the senior pilots. They're on 250,000 a year. They're more than well paid. If it was the cabin crew or it was the baggage handlers, you'd have a bit more sympathy. But these guys, this is just industrial blackmail. By the way, I think it'll be unsuccessful. There will be very little disruption coming out of these Aer Lingus strikes. Aer Lingus accounts for about 30% of the traffic at Dublin Airport. We are about twice their size. Aer Lingus is also part of the IAG group. So BA will put more flights in from Heathrow.
Do they have capacity in summer?
They have spare aircraft. I mean, look, BA are dealing with strikes on a pretty regular basis. All of us are dealing with French ATC strikes on a regular basis. So we do have spare aircraft. We have spare capacity. I would hope it won't come to strikes within Aer Lingus. But people should not panic. You know, Aer Lingus Regional will continue to operate the regional services. Iberia, BA will fill in a lot of the Heathrow and the big connecting services. And the transatlantic
airlines. And do you have any spare capacity?
We have very little spare. I mean, sorry.
Load factors are so high.
We could add. We have about 6 or 8 spare aircraft. But, you know, we will certainly add in some extra flights. But you get very short notice of if there's going to be strikes here. But people are, you know, the airline industry last year, we had 63 days of French ATC strikes. And a French ATC strike will cancel more flights than an Aer Lingus pilots. So I would hope there'd be a settlement. I would strongly urge Aer Lingus to stand up to these pilots. And I would strongly urge the pilots union, if you're getting 250 grand a year and you've been, Labour Court has awarded you 9.5%, take it. And then negotiate again next year.
Now, another campaign you've been operating is about Ursula von der Leyen and trying to get her to persuade Europe generally to allow for overflight of France with
just
those,
French, Pat, just yeah, French.
The dogged French and their air traffic controllers.
Like, we have a bizarre situation in France because of the centrality of France. When the French air traffic go on strike, and they do so regularly, they had 53 days of ATC strikes last year. They were protesting over Macron's pension reforms, which they were exempt from. So it's just secondary striking. But because France is so big and at the centre of Europe, if what the French do is they use minimum service legislation to protect local, domestic and French flights, and they cancel all the overflights. So it's the German to Spain, it's the Ireland to Italy, the Portugal to flights,
and
all get cancelled.
Is the ATC technology there to implement that tomorrow?
Yes, turn on today. I mean, we don't need French ATC to overfly France.
Yeah,
you could do it with flight radar. But what the problem is, the Spanish, the Italians, the Greeks use their minimum service legislation to protect overflights. And all we're asking Ursula von der Leyen to do is, as the European Commission, take action against France, insist that France protects overflights. And if there is an ATC strike in France, and they have the right to strike, we accept that, cancel the local French and domestic flights.
Which they don't do. They don't discommode their own.
No, they look after their own and discommode everybody else, and they couldn't care less. And Ursula von der Leyen simply throws her hands up and goes, oh, it's a national competence, there's nothing we can do here. If Peter Sutherland in 1985 adopted that approach when he pushed through deregulation of air travel, nobody wanted, the French didn't want it, the Germans didn't want, they wanted to protect their local monopoly airline. And it has been one of the great successes of the European Union. Occasionally, Ursula von der Leyen has to break eggs. You need to break eggs to make an omelette. Eamon Ryan needs to take action to get rid of this insane and stupid traffic cap at Dublin Airport. And she needs to impose rules and regulations on the French to protect overflights. It's a single market in Europe, but the French keep closing it down.
A couple of other things. Terminal 3.
Yep.
It lives again in the mind of Ulrich McAvady, at least.
But it's always lived in the mind of Ulrich, to be fair. Look, there's no requirement for Terminal 3. They've opened up a second runway at Dublin Airport. You need a reasonably modest extension of Terminal 1, which should, where our Pier D is, where all the Ryanair flights are.
Yeah.
If you knock down the hangars that are up on the left-hand side there, you could extend that probably about double the size right out to Hangar 6, and that would take terminal capacity at Dublin Airport up to about 50 million passengers at very low cost. There's nothing out on the West Apron. I mean, and that's one of the issues we have. Dublin Airport, despite the fact that their traffic is capped, now want to spend 250 million building a tunnel under a taxiway to go over to the West Apron. And there's nothing on the West Apron other than cargo planes and private aircraft. And Dublin Airport, it's a health and safety issue. Parcels don't need health and safety. If a box falls off the back of a truck, no one's going to get injured. We do not need to be wasting 250 million.
But are they not saying it's to do with efficiency? If you've got all aircraft crossing over, it delays
maybe
the landing.
They do say that, but there are no aircraft crossing over. There's buses crossing over, but if you take Cologne Bonn, they put up railway gates and traffic lights. And if there's an aircraft going taxiing up and down, the railway gates come down, traffic light turns red and you wait. That solution would cost about 100 grand. But the DAA, of course, because they're regulated, they need to keep finding ways of spending huge amounts of money on CapEx, because they then go to the regulator and say,
going back to,
we need a passenger price increase.
To your former colleague, Kenny Jacobs,
yep.
He came from the Ryanair culture.
He did.
So he's not a man that should be spending money in a profligate way.
Oh, well, once they join up with the DAA, they sign up for the Kool-Aid and they start hearing. I mean, the DAA know their business is, how do we game the regulatory system? Like, look, the DAA say the car parks are full. I mean, you own 300 acres of fields around Dublin Airport. And, you know, they said last year the car parks were full. We need to be able to buy Q-Park. They shouldn't be allowed to buy Q-Park. But if the car parks are full, there's nothing to stop them opening up those fields, as every agricultural show does in almost every town and village in Ireland during June, July and August, and create extra car parking. The DAA don't like doing that because they want to increase the price of car parking.
I mean, if you were running the show, would you not attempt to get access at least to Q-Park for the summer? Lease it from somebody or...
No, I would have actually opened up the fields if needs be, put some ATO, and they say, oh, we need planning. You don't need planning for temporary car parks. Okay. Every agricultural show in Ireland doesn't get planning for its temporary car parks. You know, this is doable, but the DAA don't want to increase supply because that means they'll have to actually reduce prices.
Now, the final thing is Boeing aircraft.
Yeah.
Where are you in your deliveries with them?
They're going to leave us about 20 aircraft short this summer. Now, they're going to deliver about 10 of those in August and September, but that comes too late for us for the Christmas, for the summer peak. And then the remaining 10 in October and November. So
we now, you would be expanding your fleet, but you also would be replacing. So can you not hang on to some of the ones that are...
No, this is all growth. At the moment, our oldest aircraft is only 18 years old. This was all growth this year. We were supposed to get 59 aircraft before the end of April. They're going to deliver us 39 by the end of June. But we'll get those extra 20 aircraft a bit in the autumn. That will give us 20 more aircraft for growth in summer 2025. And then we're due to get another 29 aircraft in the spring of next year. So we're getting 49 new aircraft next summer. And the question I put to Eamon Ryan at our meeting on the 7th of March... How many of these aircraft, Minister, do you want me to put in Dublin, Cork and Shannon? And he's there giving you a kind of gormless smile, you know, nothing. We want to put some of these aircraft in. I would want to put 5 aircraft in Dublin next year. I could open about 25 new routes and we could grow traffic in Dublin by about 1 million passengers. And yet, while the Minister for Transport and his Green Minister for Tourism both sit on their hands smiling gormlessly at us, these aircraft and these routes and these jobs are going to be exported elsewhere to Europe.
So the message to the minister is get your finger out.
Well, the message is green ministers don't work. They don't deliver. They're useless at transport and infrastructure. I mean, I think one of the big, you've been very good, I think, on this programme at the Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
We are hopeless at infrastructure. But because we live in a country with a 4-year electoral cycle. We should not have a ministry for transport, energy and communications. It's a mishmash. We should have a ministry for infrastructure. I mean, in this country, population is going to grow to about 6 million people by 2030, 2035. Where are we going to house them? Probably all outside the M50. Why are we not working on an exterior ring road outside the M50 today? The Children's Hospital, it's 125,000 square feet, but it's an elliptical oval building that's only 3 stories high and it's in the wrong location. I've built an office block beside myself in Swords, exactly the same size, 125,000 square feet. I built it for €22 million. Now, it's not fitted out. But if you build infrastructure in a timely and sensible manner, it will come online. But we don't do that. We wait until it's too late. Nothing drives me, infuriates me. I mean, I have to commute up and down every day on the M4. The Keys, when I was in college in the early 1980s, 4 lanes of traffic up and down the Keys. It's the lungs of Dublin. And yet the Greens and the Dublin City Corporation have closed them down to 1 lane of traffic and 2 taxi lanes.
And then they wonder why there's obstruction and delay.
Yeah. And then, and Eamon Ryan says now, we're going to block the Keys, for through traffic. There is no through traffic going up and down the Keys. There's nowhere to go. There's a sea at the end of the Keys. But if you're going into centre, we'll let you in. Well, how are you going to know who's going through and who's going to send? Like, they have lots of ideas. They mean well. I mean, I think...
When you say the 5-year electoral cycle, I mean, it's short, but it's common enough around Europe that's the way it works.
It is, but generally you have an infrastructure development. Government have an infrastructure kind of ministry where they do 5- and 10-year plans around population.
And they stick to them.
And they tender these things. You don't waste three. I mean, we're going on our way to waste €2.5 billion building a children's hospital for 120,000 square feet. It should have been built on the M50, where actually you can access it. Yeah. The whole of Dublin and the whole of the country can access it. And you would have built it for probably about €20 million and you could have fitted out for about another €300 or €400 million. Why did we build it in St. James's? I suspect the unions and didn't want to move and all the rest.
A lot of medical politics as well involved.
That's always the way.
But here's the rub. They're going to build a new maternity hospital at St. Vincent's. Where are the children being born? Where are they going to be all living?
I know, yeah.
West of the M50.
Mad. And where's all the new housing being built? It's in Meath, Kildare. And what's Eamon Ryan's transport solution? Well, we should use more bicycles. I mean, we're building more empty bicycle lanes out the Rock Road, out through Drumcondra. They're empty. I don't begrudge the cyclists' bicycle lanes around the centre of Dublin. But if the population is going to grow by 1 million and they're going to be outside the M50, you have to facilitate their commuting in and out to Dublin. Much of that will be on cars. It will be an electrified fleet by the early 2030s. But we should be investing in multi-storey car parks in the centre of town and making it easier for commuters to get in and out of Dublin.
Now, predictably, a lot of people saying, why not use Cork and Shannon much more?
And we are already. We're growing in Cork and Shannon by about 30% at the moment. The big challenge for us, Cork and Shannon will continue to grow. But 60% of the traffic is inbound and it wants to come to Dublin. If you're in Spain or Italy, the weekend away, the holiday, will we go to Dublin or Edinburgh? Or it's not, will I go to Dublin, Cork or Shannon? It's Dublin or Edinburgh, Dublin or Kaunas, Dublin or Prague. Dublin is the draw. We can have growth in Dublin and Cork and Shannon.
People want to know how come people are arriving on Ryanair flights and other flights without documentation.
Yeah, because they flush them down the toilet or they arrive at Dublin Airport and they flush them down the toilet. We're now working with the Department of Justice. I mean, one of the things we have to do here is we send everybody who's non-EU to, you have to get their visas checked. We're now taking photographs of their passports at the visa check desk and we want to send that information to the Department of Justice. So if somebody shows up, we as the airline will be able to say, here's the passport, here's the passport, here's where we think they were sitting. The problem is they flush, they show up here. I mean, it's a complete scam. And these are not refugees. One of the things that drives me nuts in Ireland is we treat people as refugees who are coming from the UK or from France. Nobody got to Ireland from Afghanistan or from Kenya or from Nigeria or from Syria on a direct flight because there aren't any. So you are not fleeing you're not fleeing persecution in the UK or in Germany. Now, we should look after refugees. I have great sympathy for the Ukrainians. But people who are arriving in here from the UK, France or other EU countries, we should be turning them back, say here, back to the EU countries where you came from. But the challenge for though that border control is they arrive here, but they have no documentation and it's very difficult to track what flight did they come on, what seat were they sitting in, because they tear up or flush their documentation down the toilets. And all of them have documentation when they board their Ryanair flight at the other side.
Question, are the Swedish flights from Dublin gone forever?
No, we're flying to Arlanda and to Gothenburg on a daily basis.
Okay, well, so many more things, and we didn't even get round to why you're more, or you should be more valued than Mbappe and Elon Musk.
Yeah, because I deliver much more for Ireland and for Europe than certainly than Kylian Mbappe. Not quite as much as Erling Haaland, but nevertheless.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.